Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. My name is Suzanne Miller. I'm a principal researcher here at the SEI, and today I'm very pleased to introduce you to Soumya Samanta, a researcher in the Advanced Mobile Systems Initiative. Soumya's research focuses on architecting and implementing mobile systems to increase the flexibility of soldiers and emergency responders who are involved in diverse missions. In today's podcast, we're going to be talking about Soumya's work on situational awareness mashups at the tactical edge. Welcome, Soumya.
Thanks, Susie.
For those of us who didn't grow up on the internet, why don't you tell us exactly what is a mashup?
Right, so think about a mashup as a piece of software that combines data from different sources. And it's something which was not originally designed to access data from these sources, and it kind of opportunistically gets data from different sources. So let me give an example. Like, imagine a capability like you could see on a map, like on your laptop or your mobile device, like all the tourist attractions in a city and historical information about what that attraction is all about, pictures about that attraction, and how other tourists have rated that attraction, right? So all these things. Now, we're talking about like three, four different types of data. There is map data, which may come from a service like Google or Bing, and we're talking about the information about the site or the attraction itself. It can come from Wikipedia, for example. The user rating may come from a source like TripAdvisor.
Okay, so and if I wanted to know specifically about museums,
yeah,
then I could go from that. Another mashup might be just the museums in
That's
the Pittsburgh
right.
area.
That's right.
So it's the opportunistic part that makes it a mashup rather than a regular application.
Yes, and then so just think about, and none of these services or data sources were designed to support this use case, for example, right? But we are able to support it because you can kind of bring data from these things together and put it together very quickly. That's kind of the idea on a very high level.
And so that's what led you to the application that you worked on, right? So called eMontage, which
yeah.
is Edge Mission Oriented Tactical App Generator. That's quite a, you must have worked for a long time to get the acronym together. but that's the kind of thing that it's trying to do, is make this easier, right?
Yeah, we had to have we were asked to have a name for it, and this was the best we could come up. I'm sure we can do better, but right now we're kind of stuck with this. So traditionally, mashups, the ideas of mashups have been applied to web-based systems,
mm-hmm.
and on doing it on bigger displays like a laptop or a desktop display, right? And we wanted to kind of take the same idea and push it towards like a small handheld device, like
so people using a smartphone, like
a smartphone
soldier in the field,
or yeah.
an emergency responder who doesn't have a big laptop,
right,
would be able to filter all the different kinds of data
yeah.
that they get,
so,
that they have to process.
So the idea was to be able to connect to different sources. So right now the way data resides in a mobile app is, it's siloed across different mobile apps,
mm-hmm.
right? So you would see some piece of data on app one and another piece of data on app two. So imagine a first responder or soldier, people who are under like very high stress, where they have to switch between these apps and then they have to mash this information in their head. So there is some information is available on app one and so on and so forth. But our idea is very simple, right? It's just can we create a very simple interface where all the data is kind of unified on one interface? So they avoid this context switch, which kind of reduces their cognitive load, right? They don't want, like, if
right.
it's putting them under high cognitive load, they're unlikely to use it. Right?
So if I had an app that was giving me information about, say, radiation levels.
Yeah.
Right. If I'm in a in some situation where I have to worry about that,
yeah.
And then I have a map.
Yeah.
I want to move those two things together.
And, yeah. So typically, you could. So most apps have. So a radiation level app may have an existing map overlay, but you may also want to like populate it with like population data.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that
in addition
may
to the native mapping
yeah.
data that they give
so,
you.
So you say, okay, I want population data, or another example would be you may want to see, okay, show me, there is an app that can show you ID information, and there is another app that can show you like the possible, so an app that shows you historical ID information, and there is another app that shows you say some other information about the city, right? And then you want to combine that information in a meaningful way so that it's more useful, right?
So this interface lets you put all the different data types together and then say, essentially say, I want this one, I don't want that one, I want this one, I don't want that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, so fundamentally what it does or it allows you to do is kind of select the data sources that you want to use, right? And,
mm-hmm.
and we have a big list of existing data sources, and you can add more data sources to it, and there are public data sources like available on the internet, like I talked about Google Places
sure.
or Twitter or these kind of data sources, and there are like private data sources that are specific to the domain,
right?
So could in case of the first responders could be some missing person database,
right?
Which is not publicly available. Now, so these are kind of the user sees a list of the data sources, and they also see they can like apply, they can select which data sources they want to use, and they can apply operations like okay, I want to see they can apply data filters to see the data that's relevant to them for that particular mission.
Right. So I only want to see data within in 100 miles of here.
Yeah, so basic filtering, like, so they can kind of create a pretty complex filter and say, okay, I want to see data in this radius, within this date range, that contains these attributes and a bunch of other criteria that they want to specify at runtime. And they can do it on a very simple interface very quickly without writing any code.
Right.
And our software...
Which, that's all part of reducing the cognitive load.
That's right.
Yeah. So there have to be some challenges, I know, from my days working in interoperability in getting all those data sources to gracefully work together.
Yeah, so that's kind of... and we kind of... we kind of make an assumption to make it simple that right now we assume that like we looked at a bunch of data sources that deal with situational awareness data, and most of those data sources had some kind of geolocation or spatial component associated with them, like so essentially
latitude and longitude.
That's
yeah.
right, and our idea was to kind of use that as a key to connect it across different data sources. So we can kind of pretty much take any format like XML, JSON, flat files as inputs to the data source, and then the server component of our system converts it to a more compact format that's suitable for tactical environments.
Right, like, because not all of these applications were meant for mobile.
Yes.
Right.
And then what we do is kind of use that to display it. Or kind of show it on the mobile device.
Okay. All right. So to make this work and to get confidence in it, you've got to do a lot of testing with it so you can understand what kinds of things people actually think are simple versus
yeah.
what a programmer thinks is simple and things like that. How did you go about field testing this kind of an app?
So we basically tested, kind of demoed this and field tested it a few times at an event called JFX that's organized by the Naval Postgraduate School in California. And we have actual real users that come to that event. And we kind of demoed our app and then asked them to use it.
So you got to observe them using
yeah.
it in a simulated
yeah.
situation.
Yeah, and they kind of gave us feedback about what they liked, what are the features they would like to have. things like those, and we kind of we've taken most of that feedback and incorporated into our software, but remember, like, it's mostly a prototype. It's not
sure. It's not a. You aren't going to find this on the App Store, guys.
Yeah, yeah. but the idea was to kind of demonstrate that this is so take our ideas from concept and kind of build a prototype and demonstrate that this can actually be done, and what are the architectural decisions and trade-offs that you need to do. So in the end, the most important thing that came out of this work, I would say, is like. The prototype is fine. It shows that this can be done. But what we have is an architecture.
You've got an architecture pattern, yes, that other people could follow.
Yes, so kind of that works real. It works to solve the problems that okay. we've discussed before.
Right? Okay, so. Excellent. So who do you think might want to adopt this kind of an app? What kinds of organizations might want to use this?
So this was built. The whole idea was because AMS, Advanced Mobile Systems, the initiative I am in, we're kind of focused on the tactical edge,
right?
Which is kind of a very resource-constrained environment,
mm-hmm.
and there are users who are always under high stress and high cognitive load. So it's kind of, we've taken, anybody who's kind of working in this environment, and it's kind of true about first responders as well, right? They should be able to take our concept and whatever we have learned and whatever we have implemented and kind of apply it in their environment.
So what you're really targeting here is developers of applications, say, for a 911 type of organization or tactical edge, not the end users themselves. You would expect it would actually be more developers that would use the architectural pattern to
yes.
develop something for their end users,
yes.
right?
Yes, and there is, we have also, like, so right now, so for example, adding a new data source, we make an assumption that the person who's adding it kind of knows, has some programming skills,
mm-hmm.
right? And we give instructions about how to add it, but since every data source is different, and
sure.
it kind of takes anywhere from a day to a week to add a new source, depending upon how complex the data format is. But once you've added it, it's there. And the data filtering that I talked about before, it's kind of completely, like, you don't have to implement anything or write any code. It's built into
that's
the system.
That's end-user focused.
Yes. So
yeah.
So it's kind of, so this work kind of evolved from a previous work where we were focused on doing end-user programming
right.
on a handheld device, right? And
right.
So that was, so in some sense, there is, and there is some component where you have to know how to program and you have to be a developer, but the other piece is completely like end user focused. Like, you just need to know how to use a smartphone or a tablet. That's all. And you must be familiar with the domain, right?
Sure.
Like,
oh yeah.
The data
yeah.
that you're interacting
absolutely.
With. So
like many other projects here at the SEI, I know your research involves several collaborations. Can you tell us a little bit about the
yeah,
people
so
that
that's
you're collaborating with on this work?
That's a very good follow-on. So as I said before, this work is kind of came out of from another work, another piece of work where we collaborated very closely with Dr. Brad Myers. He's a professor at CMU at,
mm-hmm.
at the Human Computer Interaction Institute. And so as I described before, one of the problems that we currently have is we assume that the person who's adding new data sources in the system kind of knows programming.
Right.
So Kerry, who's one of Brad's PhD student, is working on, like, there is, we have initial research. She's trying to automate it and make it kind of end user friendly.
Make it like a wizard.
Yeah. So you don't have
okay.
to write code to add a new data source. And we have, we've kind of solved it for a large class of data sources, but understand that every data source is going to be
unique,
right?
Yeah.
So we cannot provide like one solution that fits
sure.
all. But we've made enough progress in that area. And the other way we are kind of leveraging this is we kind of trying to use eMontage in other research initiatives or research projects that we have inside
okay.
AMS. There's another project that I'm currently working on where we have leveraged the eMontage, like all the lessons we had learned and even the prototype in that project.
Excellent. So you're pretty busy with this. What's next for you in this area?
So as I said before, I'm working on another project which is called Edge Analytics, and it basically deals with analyzing data. Right now, we're not doing anything with the data. We just filter it and present it to the user, right? But imagine if the user wants to, there is more we can do with the data, kind of process it so that it becomes more meaningful for the user.
So the data becomes information.
Yes, yes. So that's kind of the next logical step, and that's another project that I'm working on. And we've kind of extended eMontage, and the use case that we are dealing with right now is kind of analyzing real-time streams of sensor information and like social media feeds like Twitter, right?
Well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, so
maybe you'll do a podcast for us on that in a couple of months.
Yeah, I'll be more than happy to do that.
Good. Well, I think you've got your hands full. You always do. And I do look forward, and the rest of us look forward to some of your results as these emerge. And I want to thank you very much for joining us today, Soumya.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
If you'd like more information on Soumya's work in mobile and edge systems, you can check out his blog post. Just go to blog.sei.cmu.edu. In the right-hand column, click on Soumya's name or the handheld devices tag. For more information on the research Soumya's team is doing in pervasive mobile computing, please see their Our Work website at sei.cmu.edu/mobilecomputing/research/index.cfm. This podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you.